Welcome to worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad you have joined us on this third Sunday of Easter, which is also our third Sunday of live streaming. Let us now join our hearts and our voices together as we sing, "Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise."
In the silence of our hearts or in spoken words, let us give thanks for this day and pray for the life of the world. Loving Creator, we come to you today with gratitude for your loving mercies. You saw our fear and doubt, our suspicion, our mistrust, and you banished them from our lives, replacing them with hope, peace, love, and joy. Just like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, we struggle to recognize you in the everyday journey of our lives. We seek your wisdom in the midst of the questions we have about the circumstances we find ourselves in. Circumstances sometimes beyond our control, but often of our own making. You called us to be your witnesses to all the world, unafraid of what others might think or say about us. We have been invited out of our darkened hideaways into the light of your world as emissaries of hope and justice, peace and compassion. Open our eyes to your work of transformation in and around us. As we walk with you day by day, may your new life be made manifest in what we say to others. Help us to understand the power of our words to hurt or to heal. Give us the graciousness to make all of our conversations holy. Just as we desire that our speaking be holy, may our seeing be holy as well. We are bombarded with media which shape our attitudes and behaviors. As you opened the scriptures to the disciples and taught them everything, help us to navigate the saturation of news, posts, and tweets by opening our eyes to behold you in your word, in the beauty of nature, the beauty of another human being, and the beauty of sacred art. And in our seeing, help us to recognize and welcome the stranger in our midst. May our welcome be a celebration of the gifts and graces of people who are different from us, and not merely some token tolerance of an outsider. Our hearts are broken with pain at the senseless deaths caused by gun violence. Families mourn, children live in fear, and some in our nation respond by arming themselves with more guns, with greater capacity to end life. Our disconnection and alienation has caused some to turn to guns for protection and safety. We ask that you touch our hearts with your love, heal our brokenness, and turn us away from violence toward peace. Help us to transform our own hearts and to seek peaceful ways of resolving our differences. Let our hands reach out and connect with those who feel alone, those who live in fear, and those suffering from mental illness. Let our voices be raised, asking our legislators to enact gun laws to protect all in our society, especially those most vulnerable. Let our pens write messages demanding change while also scripting words of hope and transformation. Be with us, God, as we participate in ministries of healing and hope through this church, in our community, our region, our nation, and our world. Give us courage and strength to be your disciples in all the circumstances of our lives. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, as we pray the prayer he taught us. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We are so glad you have joined us for worship this day. Please, if you're on our Facebook Live page, please be sure to leave something in the chat so we can know that you are worshiping with us today. This week, on Thursday at 7:15, our Bible study with Pastor Mark on the book of Genesis continues. If you are not part of that and you would like to be, please send an email to pastormark@hollywoodumc.org. In the month of May, we will be having another one of our camp meetings in the parking lot, and this time with a baptism. So you'll want to register for that. We'll have registrations open probably the first week of May, and there will be a limited number of people who will be able to come, but we hope that you will participate in that. All that we do here is made possible by you, by your prayers and your presence online for now, your service, your witness, and your financial gifts. We continue to struggle somewhat with our budget, so if you are able to give even an extra $5, that would be so helpful to us in continuing to grow our ministries online here in the heart of Hollywood and in Toluca Lake.
Broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round, and you can't find the fighter, but I see it in you, so we're gonna walk it out. Move mountains, we're gonna walk it out. Move mountains, And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I will rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it 1,000 times again. I'll rise up, high like the waves. I will rise up, in spite of the ache. I will rise up, and I'll do it 1,000 times again. For you, for you, for you, for you. When the silence isn't quiet and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe, and I know you feel like dying, well, I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move mountains, bring it to its feet. Move mountains, and I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I will rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it 1,000 times again. For you, for you, for you, for you. All we need is hope. And for that we have each other. And for that we have each other. We will rise, we will rise, we'll rise. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I will rise up in spite of the ache. And I'll do it 1,000 times again. And we will rise up, high like the waves. We will rise up in spite of the ache. We'll rise up, and we'll do it 1,000 times again. For you, for you, for you.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and feet. See that is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Word of God, words of life, thanks be to God.
Easter, spring, new life is all around us, but what is it that sets apart the great 50 days of Eastertide? Hope. A resurrection hope that is greater than doubt, greater than fear, greater than uncertainty, greater than the pandemic. Hope is our response to God's grace and unconditional love. Ultimately, to live in the resurrection is to live as a person of hope. Thus, our sermon series for the season of Eastertide is 50 Days of Hope. Now, we find today's passage, even though it's the third Sunday of Easter, we're still on Easter evening, after Jesus had appeared to the two at Emmaus. That day must have been long and confusing and filled with fear. In today's gospel lesson, we read from Luke that Jesus appears to a group of people we know to be the 11 disciples, and their companions, that includes the two unnamed Jesus followers who had journeyed from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and it probably also included Mary Magdalene and other women unnamed. Now, at this point in the story, news of the resurrection of Jesus had been unclear, at best. An angel had appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden. Jesus himself appears to the two, but he's not recognizable. Now, they are all understandably anxious and fearful about what was happening to Jesus, and also what would happen to them. Then all of a sudden, in the midst of their conversation about what was going on, Jesus stands among them and says, "Peace be with you." Now, at that point, I'm guessing peace was the last emotion they were feeling. How is it possible? Jesus, you were dead. We saw you crucified, and now you're alive. And here you are trying to pass the peace? So to calm them and to assure them that it was really him, Jesus offers some tactile comfort. He says, "See my hands? See my feet? It's really me." As Luke writes, Jesus says, "Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." Now, getting a sense in the room that that didn't assuage all of their fears all at once, understandably, Jesus says, "Okay, you have anything to eat?" They offered him a piece of broiled fish, which he eats, showing that his presence among them is not an apparition, but a fully resurrected body that hungers to be fed and to be believed. Luke then tells us that in the eating of the fish, the room got sufficiently calm so that Jesus could teach those gathered once again on what was going to be expected of them going forward. Yes, Jesus was alive, but wouldn't be staying on this earth for that long. And then Luke offers his version of the Great Commission. Repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in the Messiah's name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of the embodied, resurrected Jesus. You are witnesses to the reality that love is greater than death. You are witnesses to the power of God's redemptive love for each of us. You are witnesses to what the hope of the resurrected Christ can mean for this world. And because you are witnesses to the hope of the resurrection, your job, a portion of your mandate, is to proclaim to the world that hope is greater than fear. Now, someone we would not have suspected lived in fear was St. Francis of Assisi, known for his love of all God's creatures. But there's a story about St. Francis that's not as well known. There are several variations on it, but this is the one that I learned years ago. One day, St. Francis was walking on a road outside Assisi with his friend, a brother Leo. As they were walking towards the city, they met a leper. Now, while Francis loved snakes and birds and spiders and creatures of all kinds, he was absolutely terrified by people who were living with leprosy. But when he looked into this man's face, he knew God was calling him to face his fears. He helped the man to his feet and put his cloak over his head and shoulders and held him tight around the waist as a support as they walked and talked some more and then walked more in silence. They got to the edge of the city and Francis and Leo were going by a different road than the leper. Francis slowly removed his cloak and the man was not there. No one was there. Francis dropped to his knees and said to Brother Leo, "Christ our Lord came to me today and allowed me to love him. I will not be afraid of lepers anymore, for Christ has taken away my fear and replaced it with love." Family, the new life that Christ offers us is resurrection from fear, from those aspects of our lives that would limit our ability to love and live out our calling as people of hope. St. Francis relied on that new life to free him up, to really and truly see the Christ in those persons affected by leprosy. The question for us this morning is, what is it that we fear? How can we rely on the risen Christ to free us, to truly know that hope is greater than fear? This Eastertide, how can we see, truly see the risen Christ like we never have before? I think we start by naming our fears and then being willing to attempt to face them on both a micro and a macro level. There is no magic wand that will allow us to ever eliminate all fear or anxiety from our lives, and that can be okay because there are times in which fear can protect us. But while fear may be what some have called a persistent companion, we don't have to allow it to control us. We can learn to address our fears, control them, learn from them, even use them, and we can press on to live a life of courage and of hope. The late Eleanor Roosevelt once said, "You gain strength and courage and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You are able to say to yourself, 'I lived through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes along.'" Well, decades later, after she said that, it can seem more difficult to us, especially when this is the next thing that has come along. 45 mass shootings in the span of 1 month, March 16th to April 16th, 2021. I spent most of Friday afternoon and evening rewriting this sermon, alternating between the news and feeling heartbroken over the senseless loss of life in Indianapolis, preceded by the senseless loss of life in Bryan, Texas, here in Orange, California, in Boulder, Colorado, Atlanta, and in other places as the map illustrates. trying to find reason where none exists, and trying to understand why, oh God, can we as a nation not choose to ban assault weapons, which are the weapons of choice and destruction in each of these shootings? Why must we cling to a perceived need for freedom instead of saying the predominant thing we need to do is to take care of one another? And during this deluge of violence, and at all times, really, we need to be crystal clear about our God. These senseless acts of violence are not God's will, nor is violence ever the will of God. Amen. I can hear you at home. Amen. Our God, who loves us so deeply, would never will such pain and suffering for any of us. And we also know that God's heart is breaking over the hurts and the pains of those wounded and killed by those who seek power or fame or notoriety or revenge through such senseless acts of violence. And while Indianapolis was just the last on Friday, just the latest, unless our elected officials act, we can be sure that there will be more. There are no words to express the depths of our anguish at the inhumanity possible in our world. After the Paris bombings in 2015, the great writer Anne Lamott wrote an essay that I shared with you all following the Orlando massacre in 2016, and then just this past Lent during one of our Tuesday Facebook Live sessions after Atlanta, because her words give me hope. She writes, "I wish there was a website we could turn to called What It Means, What Is True, and What to Do. We know that why is not a useful question, and figure it out is not a good slogan. So where do we find grace and light? If you mean right now, the answer is nowhere. Grace always does last, and the light always overcomes the darkness, always, historically. But not necessarily the same day or tomorrow after lunch. Wendell Berry told me 25 years ago during Advent, the darkest, shortest days of winter, it gets darker and darker and darker, and then Jesus is born. But at the time of this writing, it's only November 13th. It gets even darker. So what is the answer? Gandhi is almost always the answer. Jesus' love for the poor and refugees is the answer. Adding a bit of light and warmth to these cold, dark days doesn't hurt. Candles are beautiful and can bring a soup of solace to our souls. People living on the streets could really use your blankets and jackets. Grace will always show up in the helpers, as Mr. Rogers' mother used to tell him in times of tragedy. Family, we need to be the helpers. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "You are witnesses of these things." We are the witnesses of these things, of the hope that comes with believing in the resurrected Christ. We are the helpers who will build the beloved community of peace with justice. We are the ones who will call even more loudly for an end to systemic racism in this country, especially in law enforcement of all kinds. It was nearly a year ago that we were saying, "Say their names," about the deaths of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, both of whom were killed in 2020 at the hands of law enforcement. This year we add to that list 13-year-old Adam Toledo and 20-year-old Dante Wright, both shot by police over the past month. And had he not pulled over to a well-lit area, Lieutenant Karen Nazario might have suffered the same fate based on body cam footage when he was pulled over by Virginia police. The trial of Derek Chauvin for the murder of George Floyd has been described by many as a referendum on the future of policing. Will we as a country begin to hold unjust police officers accountable for their actions? Will we choose to have a national movement for policing reform to rid this nation, and especially our law enforcement places, to get rid of implicit bias, so that parents of black and brown children don't have to have the talk with their young children, fearful that a mistake could cost them their lives? Family, let us pledge to be part of that conversation, part of the solution. Let us be the witnesses to the hope that can, if we work toward it, triumph over fear and injustice. Finally, let us live as people who may not have experienced the risen Christ in person, but are still witnesses to the essence, to the power of the resurrection hope. A few months after my mom died in 2008, I had left the office and gone to what I call the Celebrity Ralph's up here in Studio City. I say that because I've seen more celebrities there than I've ever seen in Hollywood proper. And I was there and I was getting whatever I was buying, and there was one of the soap stars from the ABC, almost every single ABC soap at some point. My mom watched all of them. Well, this guy had been on all of them, beginning with Loving, all the way to General Hospital. And I went and pulled out my phone to call her and say, you know who's here? I can't think of his name now, but do you know who's here? Of course, there was no one to call. But I realized that while Ruthie was absent from the body and present with the Lord, as we clergy are fond of saying, I was reassured that her essence was still with me. It was with me then, and it's with me today. You are witnesses of these things. The essence of the embodied Christ is with us. Go and proclaim repentance and forgiveness to all, because hope truly is greater than fear. Amen.
As we leave here today, may the affirmation and assurance of hope give you the courage to be the hope to everyone else in this world. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.